On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be alright.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the person to whom they refer to in the title. Thanks for being here. I appreciate it. I really do. Okay, now that we've done that, where do we go from here? Well, now I perform for you for about 30 minutes. A little harder than I thought it would be. Lovely. That's just lovely. All right, let's fade in on the music. That's enough. Well, this is a special holiday. Back in 2021, President Joe Biden declared this day annually to be a federal holiday. And they call it Juneteenth. I don't know what that means, but it's Juneteenth. Sounds like an alcoholic beverage, and it probably is. Juneteenth celebrates the emancipation of the slaves, but it has come further to represent the emancipation of all types of people who have been mentally or physically bound by the rules and regulations of this country. This country for a long time was very stupid. It was a stupid country. It's a marvelous, wonderful country, but was at a time very stupid. So we're celebrating the fact that supposedly we're not that stupid anymore. Hey, whatever. It's whatever. We've progressed. Progressed from, yes, you better have progressed. I mean, because that was stupid. But anyway, we celebrate emancipation. And again, in regards to slavery. See, here's the problem here. Thomas Jefferson was a slave owner and yet a man who did a lot of stuff. And now we're saying, well, we shouldn't be celebrating this man because he was a slave owner. Slaves built the White House. Technically, nobody should be living in that thing. Or it should be perhaps for sale or foreclosure. But we were stupid there. We were just like stupid. All men are created equal except for you people. I mean, come on. And that term, you people, we were a stupid country. We're just stupid. So we're celebrating the fact that we're not as stupid as we used to be. Oh, we're still stupid. Oh, we're really still, yeah, we are. But maybe not as stupid as other countries. It's a relative stupidity. Anyway, today is Juneteenth. It's a federal holiday, which means that the banks are closed and the post office is closed and everything is closed, but things are not. It's one of those holidays where are you open? You make phone calls. You go online. Are you open? Are you open today? Do you have regular hours? Are you open? We have to go through that again. But today is Juneteenth, and of course, last month, at some point, it was probably Mayteenth, and before that, Apriltinth, which is, Apriltinth sounds a lot like apple martini, doesn't it to me? It does. Martinis are wonderful. You can take anything and turn it into a martini. Hey, look at that apple. Apple a day keeps the doctor away. Appletini? No, not really, Ron. No. That's different. Oh, damn it. Damn it. It had the word apple in it. And by the way, an apple a day does not keep the doctor away. That's not the way that works. Excuse me, I had an appointment for my physical with Dr. Schmotten, and I want to cancel the appointment. Oh, can I ask why? Did you want to reschedule? No, I had an apple. I've been having apples every day. Don't need the doctor anymore. Mr. Van Dam, that's not what that means. Well, then why did they make a phrase out of it? There are a lot of phrases that I don't understand. You know, when I talk about something that made me feel bad and now I feel better because I talked about it, apparently I've gotten it off my chest. It was on my chest. That's like having a little piece of meat hanging from the corner of your mouth because you didn't wipe your mouth after you had that hamburger. Hey, you got a little hamburger on your face there. Well, I got that off my chest. Yeah, that's been on your chest for a while. I didn't want to say anything, but you've got like a gigantic stain there. I don't know what that was from. Is that a blood stain or something? Oh, all right. I got to change my shirt. God, thank God I got that off my chest. I don't think that's what that means. I remember one day in school I was shamed by a biology teacher. And you don't want to be shamed by a biology teacher because they're talking body parts and stuff. And you don't want that happening. Anyway, I was chewing gum. I don't know why. It's not like I had smoked all my life in sixth grade. It's just that I apparently I was chewing gum. I don't know. And the teacher looked at me and said, Mr. Van Dam, it's funny when you're in grade school, they call you Mr. It's, you know, that's kind of demeaning. It really is. I mean, you know, they could call, hey Ron, it said I'm Mr. Van Dam at the age of six. Actually, not the age of six, sixth grade. I wasn't 6 years old in sixth grade. That'd be so much easier if we did it that way. Ron, how old were you in sixth grade? I can't figure this out. I mean, I got to go through a whole math thing. I think that's the only reason that they teach you math in school, so you can figure out what age you were in a certain grade. I have no idea. I don't know how old I was in sixth grade. Maybe I was nine. I don't know. I have no idea. I can't figure that. I don't have time to figure that out. Mr. Van Dam, stop it. Stop calling me that. I'm a kid. I'm a child. Don't call me Mr. Oh, my God. Mr. Van Dam, are you chewing gum? No. Mr. Van Dam, take the gum out of your mouth. We have rules in the school not to chew gum in class. And how does chewing gum impede my intelligence? Please tell me this. I mean, can I not think and chew gum at the same time? I know I can't walk and chew gum. That's a fact. We know that. At least I can't walk well while I'm chewing gum. We know that. That's been proven by science. But I can't sit in the classroom and chew gum? I mean, where do your rules come from? Who wrote these rules? No chewing gum in class. Why not? Explain this to me. I can't, Mr. Van Dam. Stop calling me Mr. Van Dam. I'm in sixth grade. I remember the day. Oh, my God. I walked into a convenience store, and I think I was about, how old was I? I think I was like 18 or 19 or 20, something like that. Fresh out of high school, in college or something. I walked into a convenience store, and the guy behind the counter said, "Thank you, sir." Sir? I'm not even 20 years old. I'm a sir? No, don't do that. Don't do that. I have a female acquaintance friend, and I, there's a slash in there. Acquaintance slash friend. I use the word friend very seriously because if someone's a friend, you better kiss my ring and my ass at the same time and chew gum. And she hates to be called ma'am. She'll if you call her ma'am, she'll stop whatever she's doing and slap you upside the head like this, like there's no tomorrow. She'll slap you silly. Hates to be called ma'am. I don't like to be called sir. It's like, oh, whoa, stop that. It's too formal and it makes me feel old. And that was the first time someone called me sir. It was in a convenience store. And the other time I was in a convenience store and I got even older than that, the guy behind the counter said, hey, how you doing today, boss? Thank you, boss. I'm not your boss. I don't own the 7-Eleven. If I did, I'd fire your ass. Get out of here. Stop calling me sir. And stop calling me boss. You've got your designations like all out of whack. Yeah, so this female acquaintance hates to be called ma'am. She goes nuts. She's her head turns around like 360 degrees, like in The Exorcist. You see that movie, The Exorcist? It scared the hell out of me. You can do all your CGI now, but when someone turns their head all the way around like an owl in a movie, that was pretty cool. That scared me. That film was directed by William Friedkin. It's freaking me out. That was a scary movie. Because there was no CGI. It was just like really done with, you know, things, you know, with like real contraptions. That was impressive. CGI has, it's bastardized movies is what it's done. Anything is possible in a movie now. People can fly around and it looks entirely normal. Cities are destroyed, the whole bit. But never really happened. It's just CGI and it looks like real. So like, okay, you don't impress me much. I think it was Shania Twain with that song, You Don't Impress Me Much. That's like movies to me. It doesn't thrill me. It's no big deal. It's CGI. It's not real. A computer made it. That was a good movie. Yeah, let's give the award to the computer. Oh, how about the people who program the computer? Not so much. Not so much. It's funny, when I watch the Academy Awards and they give away an award for costuming, you know, best costumes, it's like, okay, like, is this an award? I mean, all right, some creative people sat down and, you know, sewed a gown together, and I don't understand why, how does this have anything to do? Well, it was the wardrobe in the movie was incredible. I don't understand that. I don't get that. I get it for someone that wrote the movie, wrote the dialogue, wrote the concept. I get that. Best writer. I get that. Best director. Yeah, I get that. Best actor, actress, whatever. I get that. But costume? What? What? Is that the lady in the Kohl's in Canton, Ohio? I mean, I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand. I saw that movie. The people in the movie, they dressed really well. Oh, yes, it was incredible. I went to the movies yesterday. I saw this incredible movie. Oh, was it a drama or a comedy? Was it like, who starred in it? Oh, no, it was a great movie because the clothes in the movie, the costumes... You got to see this movie. What? Because of the costumes? What? Come on. Oh, wow. Some of the pants in that movie. I watched this movie last night. Blew me away. Some of the pants in this movie. There was this guy wearing pants. Best costume ever. What? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Stop it. I don't mind going to the movies. I really don't. The thing I like about going to the movies is you can always walk out. I like that. When you're on a boat and you don't like the cruise, you can't walk out. You're kind of stuck. When you're on an airplane, flying from L.A. to New York, whatever the case may be, and you don't like the flight and, you know, you're kind of sick of sitting there, you can't leave. You're kind of stuck. To me, that's like doing jail time. I didn't do anything wrong. Why am I stuck? Why am I being confined? Well, because that's the mode of transportation that we're talking about. You can't just get off at this point. I like the movies because if I don't like the movie, I can just get up, gather my shit, and get out the hell out of there. I like that. I think that's a good feeling. It gives me choice. I like that. I like it a lot. I like it. But what I don't like about the movies are the other people that go. I don't like them. I like private screenings. I can't afford to do that, but I like private screenings. If I'm sitting in a movie theater all by myself on a Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and where nobody else goes to the movies, I'm sitting there, especially when kids are in school and people are working. I just sit in the movies at 1 o'clock, and I say, well, this is like a private screening, and I didn't pay for it like that. So I'm sitting there. If one other person walks into the theater, they are going to be the people that I never want to be with ever in a movie theater. For some reason, either they're chewing their popcorn real, or they're talking through the movie. I love seniors. They're wonderful people. But my God, why do you have to talk to each other in a movie theater? What happened there? What happened? What happened there? Oh, I don't. Oh, no. Oh, what happened there? Shut up. I like the part in the movie where they tell you where the exits are, as if something horrible can happen by sitting in a movie theater. And I guess it could, but it could happen anywhere. I mean, when I walk into Kohl's to buy some pants, there's not a person standing there. Welcome to Kohl's. If there were a fire or some kind of panic or something, I'm going to point out the exits to you. They don't do that. Guess what? In the movie theater, there are doors, and over the doors, there's a big light-up sign that says, exit. I can figure that out for myself. Thank you. So they go through that, and then they tell you about the popcorn and the drinks that are available throughout the film. They tell you that, and then they show you about a half an hour of coming attractions. And basically, coming attractions in a movie theater are nothing but the best parts of those films. Because all they want to do in a movie is not win an Academy Award or anything like that. They're just trying to get your money. They want your ass to come to the theater. So they'll show you the best parts of the movie in about like a minute and a half, coming attractions, trailers, whatever you want to call them. And those are the best parts. And then when you sit down and you watch the movie, when you actually go back to the theater to watch the full movie because you're enticed by the coming attractions, you sit through the movie and say to yourself, hey, I already saw this. Yeah, you saw the best parts already. All they cared about was getting your ass into the theater. That's all. Because we're all being manipulated. Now, some movies, of course, that's not the case. But for most, that is. You've seen the best parts of the movie. Now go home. Really, seriously. And they call it trailers. I've talked about this before. They call them trailers, although they happen at the beginning. The very meaning of trailers is it trails something else. No, it doesn't. It starts everything, and the actual motion picture that you paid money for to sit and watch, that's what trails. That's the trailer. So, I mean, they've just got it totally backwards. It's just totally backwards. You know what freaks me out? When you take a selfie and you're on the opposite side of where you actually are, it's very hard to figure out. It's a mind fuck is what it is. Selfies are mind fucks. Hey, wasn't I on the left of you when we were standing at the beach? The picture shows that I was on the right of you. What a weird world this is. Everything's turned around. It's hard to get my bearings. It's true. It's just everything's weird. I have a guest today. We're going to talk about cruising. Do you like to take boats? Do you like to float on the water on a large vessel? Mm-hmm. Do you like to bob up and down in the water and have trouble walking and get sea legs and throw up? Do you like that? Do you like, raise your hand. I love that. I love that. I love that nauseous feeling. We love it. I don't care for it too much. I don't care to be on a boat. I mean, it's one of those things I just talked about. Once you're on a boat, and if you don't like it, you can't leave. You sit there and throw up and shut up. You're done, man. You're on it. But some people love it. Some people love to be on a boat. They love that feeling or something. I was on a cruise just once. Didn't care for it. Got to be honest with you. Didn't care for it. It's like being stuck in a box with people that you don't really care for. Not my thing. They have all kinds of things going on the boat. They have entertainment, which is basically people just doing karaoke who are maybe a notch higher than that. And they are your lounge performers. So there's entertainment all the time. Guys doing magic acts, card tricks, that kind of thing. Food. You can eat 24 hours a day, you eat 3 o'clock in the morning. Get up to pee at 3 o'clock in the morning and then have a steak. And it's quite obvious, and all kinds of activities. And quite obviously, the reason they do that is because they know that sitting on a boat and doing nothing is boring as hell. So they have to come up with all these things to do. They're basically telling you, this is going to be boring. We have to focus your attention on something else because, I mean, otherwise this is not fun. So we're going to give you some shiny objects to look at. That's what it is. Why do you think you can eat 24 hours a day? Why is that necessary? It's to keep you occupied, to shut you up. Because people love to eat. I mean, that's all they need. And the bars are open all the time. You know, got to occupy you. This ain't fun. You're going to be stuck on a floating vessel. We got to occupy you somehow. Dissuade you from what's really happening here. Anyway, many people do love to cruise, and our guest is a cruise critic and a cruise person, and we'll tell you about. So if you want to look for a boat trip, I guess it isn't expensive again right now. It's working out, so you might want to take a look at that. But first, we're going to have a short commercial break, and when we come back, there we go.
This episode of The Ron Van Dam Show is brought to you in part by Gary. You know him, you love him, it's Gary. Looking for a little help around the house? Give Gary a call. Painting, gutter repair, maintenance, Gary's your guy. Looking for a classically trained violinist? That's Gary. Does your kid's birthday party need a juggling magic clown? Gary's on his way. Can't perfect that chocolate souffle? Here comes Chef Gary. Tricky algebra problem got you stumped? Gary has the answer. Need a spleen donor in a hurry? Get Gary on the line. Want to start, continue, or complete your ninja training? Gary is here to help. Still wondering who murdered your rich uncle and why? Put Detective Gary on the case. Need an ancient Sumerian text translated? Give it to Gary. Trouble trimming your bonsai tree properly? Gary and his clippers are headed your way. Spouse unsatisfied in the bedroom? You could use a little Gary. Brought down a wild boar with a bow and arrow and need it expertly butchered? Sounds like a job for Gary. Need a rival bumped off? Gary knows a guy who knows a guy. Looking for a drag queen in a hurry? Gary's ready to sashay on over. Constipation? Time for Gary. Need a flamethrower for reasons you'd rather not discuss? Whoosh, Gary's got one. Thinking that maybe some unnecessary surgery is just what you need? Gary's removed more kidneys in a weekend than most doctors do all year. Wondering whatever became of your high school girlfriend? Gary knows right where the Witness Protection Program put her, and he has her number. Whatever you need, whenever you need it, and for whatever reason, you know who's your go-to. It's Gary. Carry is available 24/7 in all 48 contiguous U.S. states and by special arrangement for requests in Alaska, the U.S. Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and Guam. Contacting Gary does not constitute a legally binding agreement or contract, and Gary cannot be held liable for any damages that occur in the course of fulfilling the request. Gary does not openly accept monetary compensation, although such compensation will be accepted if offered, and the acceptance of said compensation does not constitute a legally binding agreement or contract. Any arrangement with Gary will be considered null and void if you ever ask what his last name is.
Colleen McDaniel joins us now. She's editor-in-chief of Cruise Critic, and we're talking about cruising to Europe. That's a little bit different. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great. I am here in Denver, and the Denver Nuggets won the championship, so we're celebrating.
Excellent. Not everybody thinks of cruising, to be honest with you, and it's usually to the Bahamas or some kind of island, but we don't usually put Europe and cruising together. Used to, in prior generations, not so much this, so I guess that's opening up.
Absolutely, and you know, one of the things we love about cruising is that it's such a great value, especially in Europe. And I'll let you know, we just did a survey of our Cruise Critic readers, and they gave us our top three reasons that it is such a great value. And number one was, you unpack once and you get to see multiple destinations. So there's this, a little bit of this misconception about cruising, and maybe that's why, you know, you're thinking there's a little bit of a hesitancy about it. But this misconception about cruising that you don't get to see ports is, it couldn't be further from the truth. As a matter of fact, this summer in Europe, Norwegian Cruise Line is averaging 10 and a half hours in European ports. Second reason that our Cruise Critic readers say they find it to be a great value is there's an ease of travel. So you wake up every day in a new exciting port. Mm-hmm. There are no planes, there are no hotels, no trains, no rush connections, no missed connections. So you skip all of that hassle. And of course, number three is there's a real cost effectiveness associated with cruising. And this is especially important as we are seeing the cost of airfare and hotel rates rise. Cruising offers a much more inclusive pricing model. And you can look for really great promotions. Norwegian Cruise Line, for example, right now is offering a free at sea promotion that includes things like a free open bar, free shore excursions, and even free Wi-Fi, among other things.
Okay, you said open bar, so that's it for me. That's good. I tell you what I love about it is that you don't have to hassle with airports and delays and all that kind of stuff, and then finding the hotel and then going back and forth and getting transportation from your venue to your, and changing rooms all the time if it's more than one city. I just love just your room goes with you.
That's right. Yeah. Exhaustion that you get with the other way of travel.
That's very cool. How long does it take to go from, let's say, the East Coast to most European destinations, which I guess, as you say, the ship is a very pleasant experience.
Now, you know, there are cruise ships that do offer a transatlantic sailing, and you can often do those at the shoulder season, so in the spring or in the fall. But you can fly to Europe and sail from any of the really great European capitals or European cities. Ships are homeporting in places like Barcelona and Rome, and so you can fly, and then you can take a leisurely cruise around Europe or visit, you know, Spain or even Northern Europe, which is a great destination.
So you can mix it up a little bit, do a little flying, do a little shipping.
Exactly. So from the East Coast, it's you know, pretty easy jaunt comparatively.
Yeah. My grandparents used to, every single summer, they used to get on the Oceanic. I think that was the cruise lines from New York City. And they would sail to Europe every single summer. I remember getting on the boat, and I thought, well, this is pretty cool. So I'm glad that that's kind of back again.
It is, and it's such a great way to see Europe and visit some destinations that you might have thought weren't achievable or accessible to you.
Yeah. Do you have any tips about doing this? I mean, because a lot of people may not be familiar with these type of excursions.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we've talked about it. Europe is hot right now. That survey that I mentioned with the Cruise Critic readers, a quarter of people surveyed said they're actually planning a European cruise this summer. So it's super important to do your research. Visit a site like cruisecritic.com where you can get the insider tips and tricks that will really help you make a decision. Also, know what you want to do. So are you interested in sun and fun? Well, a Greek Isle cruise might be perfect for you. Mm-hmm. If you want a little bit more about cultural exposure, maybe Northern Europe. Or the best of both worlds, the Med kind of mixes both of those things. And I know we've been talking about 2023, but we're actually seeing a lot of interest in 2024 already. So if you see a sailing, you see an itinerary you like, book it now.
Interesting. Can you do last-minute things like with airlines do? I mean, is that also feasible?
Absolutely. There are still deals available. As a matter of fact, one of the deals that we love right now, we are seeing a 9-day cruise on Norwegian Dawn that visits France, Spain, Portugal, Belgium, and it's less than $550 per person.
What? For that. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it's still out there, still available.
My God, that's like that. That's like half the price of a Taylor Swift concert.
Absolutely true.
Wow. Which would you rather do? Oh, I would rather go on the cruise personally. Okay. All right. One more time, the website that we can visit.
You bet. For more information on some of these great intensive European destination itineraries, visit ncl.com. And for more information, tips, tricks on cruising, visit cruisecritic.com.
Perfect. Colleen, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.